We welcome you again to Past Impressions, our program on the history of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where we study people, places, events, and key issues associated with church history. I'm Brent Topp, the chair of the Department of Church History and Doctrine, and I'm your host and moderator of our discussion. And today our guests are again Dr. Max Parkin and Dr. Alex Baugh, two of our great historians in the church on the Missouri period of church history. We've been talking about Jackson County, and at the end of our last program, we talked about the Saints having to leave Jackson County and come over to Clay County. Alex, why don't you give us an overview of why the Saints are now in Clay County and how is that different than what they've been encountering previous?
Well, as we discussed in our earlier segment, the Mormons really didn't have too many options as to where to go during their expulsion from Jackson County in November of 1833. Clay County seemed like the most logical place, and indeed it was. I might just say here that I think this is one of the most a very, very important period of early Mormon history, and yet it doesn't get any of that coverage. We seem to always focus on Kirtland during these years, and well, we should. Mm-hmm. Kirtland is the headquarters of the church. Joseph Smith's there. They're moving forward with the temple, the school of the prophets, the keys.
Ultimate dedication, the spiritual outpouring period, all of those events simultaneous there, yeah.
And again, I understand why we do that, and we should. But it's almost like this is a forgotten chapter or a forgotten period in early Mormon history. And we can be so grateful for Max Parkin here. Mm-hmm. Max did his doctoral dissertation on this period of early Mormon history. And it's one of those gaps that he just filled in just tremendously. And so I acknowledge his wonderful contributions here. This is a very important period of early Mormon history that has been neglected, and I think it needs a proper attention.
Good, good. Well, Max, why do they move to Clay County, and how is Clay County different than what they've experienced in Jackson County?
I want to give you a quote from W.W. Phelps. It's a little extensive, but I'll keep it short. It kind of expresses the condition of the Saints after they were driven out of Jackson County, and they will go into various counties. The Saints are scattered all over the place in Jackson County, although principally in Caw Township, the western part of the county. But when they left Jackson County, they did so without organization. There was no general leadership that systematically organized them to leave and so forth. Small groups had their leaders, and that helped. But consequently, because they were not united in terms of the departure, they do scatter. And although most of the Saints go into Clay County across the Missouri River northward, others of them go into the surrounding counties. I'd like to give this quote by W.W. Phelps. It's taken from a letter which he wrote in Clay County in December 1833, just a month after they were discharged from Jackson County. And it's a letter to the prophet Joseph Smith in Kirtland summarizing some of his feelings and sentiments. He says, quote, "The situation of the Saints as scattered is dubious and affords a gloomy prospect. No regular order can be enforced, nor any usual discipline kept up among the world. Yea, the most wicked part of it, some commit one sin and some another. I speak of the rebellious among us, for there are Saints that are as immovable as the everlasting hills." Now, I might just interrupt myself and say that Bishop Partridge had to contend with those Latter-day Saints that were less obedient in Jackson County, and they undoubtedly contributed some of the difficulty there, which he could not control. Going back to the quote, "I speak of the rebellious, for there are Saints that are as immovable as the everlasting hills, and what can be done? We are in Clay, Ray, Lafayette, Jackson, and Van Buren counties, and cannot hear from each other more often than we hear from you. I know it was right that we should be driven out of the land of Zion. The rebellious among us had to be driven away. But, brethren, if the Lord will, I should like you to try to inform us what the honest and heart here is to do. Our clothes are worn out. We want the necessities of life. And shall we leave, buy, or otherwise obtain land here where we are, to till that we who are driven away must find something to eat? Well, that's a desperate statement.
It is. And, very dire circumstances.
The saints, as they are bivouacked along the Missouri River that first winter, will suffer cold. They will suffer from insufficient food. They will be disorganized, as he indicates. And it's going to be a while before they gain some kind of leadership to give directions to them. However, they will never become as united and as unified and as systematically organized in Clay County as they were in Jackson County. But nevertheless, they will get leadership and they'll do their best and they will survive. And the people here in Clay County have a different heart. They felt that they were unjustly driven from Jackson County and should be protected and cared for. And so many of them will gain employment, servitude employment. Polly Pratt complained that we had to work like we were slaves, doing the menial tasks of a job we could get here, a job we could get there to get enough food to eat to survive. So it's a desperate, desperate time in Mormon history.
It is a different, at least at this time, it's a little different element of the population. Clay County is larger in terms of numbers, almost twice as large as the Jackson County citizenry. And obviously it's named after Henry Clay. This was there's a lot of Whigs here. There's Democrats as well, but it's a little different political mix for the Mormons. Mormons are basically Democrats, but the Whigs here took them in. And there was a little more of an element of toleration from their standpoint. So it's a different settlement community. It really is a little different atmosphere than what they were experiencing in Jackson County.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. My guests today are Dr. Alex Baugh and Dr. Max Parkin, and we've been talking about the church's, the saints' relocation from Jackson County, Missouri, to Clay County. And so, Alex, right at the end of our last little segment there, you were talking about how different Clay is from Jackson County. Why don't you elaborate on that and how the saints are befriended during this period of time?
Now, this is Liberty is a thriving community. In the early 1830s, there was at least 500 people. They had numerous shops, groceries, good stores, a tanning yard, mills, mechanic shops. It was a thriving community, and the Mormons kind of centered there, you know, kind of began to establish themselves in very isolated areas, kind of south of Liberty, but around Liberty. But I think what's significant here is although Clay had its share of poor, uneducated, and so on, its citizens were intelligent, educated, civic-minded men and women who achieved many of them who achieved statewide prominence and national prominence later. For example, a woman by the name of Melinda Estes, an early resident of the county, stated, "I doubt if there was any other town in the United States that had so many brilliant men and women as Liberty." And even Donovan, Alexander Donovan, who, again, befriends the Mormons, we employ him and several other men to help us in our legal problems, indicated that he believed this town was possessed of very, very bright bright individuals, bright men. Some of the ones that we could mention, for example, are David Rice Acheson. Now, he was a Democrat, so he aligned himself, of course, politically like the Mormons. But he became a state militia officer. He was a Missouri legislator. He became a U.S. senator between 1843 and 1855, and including he became the president pro tem of the U.S. Senate. And there's a kind of a story about him and actually being president of the United States for one day. We don't have time to talk about that, but a very, very bright individual. And, of course, Donovan himself, very distinguished in terms of his background. He was a Whig. Even though, again, Mormons were basically Democrats, he was a lawyer, a prominent lawyer in the area, became a Missouri legislator. He was later a nominee for the U.S. Senate, And, of course, he gained national prominence for his direction of the Missouri Mounted Volunteers in the Mexican War. Lincoln even made him a member of the U.S. Peace Commission in 1861. Bright guy. Peter Hardman Burnett. He was the merchant and a lawyer and also a newspaper editor there in Liberty. And he will eventually go on to Oregon, become California's first governor. So these are bright people and good people. Maybe Max could talk a little bit about Michael Arthur and John Thornton and others who were very kind to the Mormons.
Michael Arthur very early began to help the Mormons once they began to gather during around his farm. He was located about 4 miles south of Liberty. He had a farm there and a mill, and he wanted to build a nice two-story brick house and so forth. And as soon as the Mormons arrived in their desperate condition, he began to employ them to work for him. Lyman White worked for him. In fact, later, Wilford Woodruff would arrive in that neighborhood, and Lyman White and Wilford Woodruff would manufacture brick to build his house. So Wilford Woodruff indicates that he helped manufacture over 100,000 brick to build that home, and they will, of course, build it. So this is Michael Arthur, who was very helpful. He was a slaveholder, but he was open-hearted to the Mormons and gave a great deal of assistance, as did Thornton and did some of the others. And in fact, I want to introduce another helpful person, a man named Joseph Thorpe, and read just a brief statement. He wrote his memoirs, and I have them. I would like to read a short paragraph from his book. The Mormons, in the main, were industrious, good workers, and gave general satisfaction to their employers, and could live on less than any people I ever knew. Their women could fix up a good, palatable meal out of that which a Gentile's wife would not know where to begin or what to serve for dinner or breakfast. The Mormons had the knack of economizing in the larder. Well, of course, they were forced to that condition. Going back to his statement, which was a great help to the men, and as they had mostly to earn their bread and butter by day's work with wages very, very small. When the Mormons arrived in the county, Joseph Thorpe continues, they immediately set out to hunt up all the empty houses they could find or shelter of any kind that would protect them from the cold, chilly winds of the winter.
I think there's a wonderful element of this associated with the Revelation, section 105. Now, we'll talk about that later with the Zion's camp. But look what the Lord revealed to Joseph Smith about the Jackson County citizenry, or I mean the Clay County citizenry. I think this is significant. This is DNC section 105, verses 23 through 27. And I will just make some excerpts here. But he says, "And let all my people who dwell in the regions round about, Clay County and other counties, be very faithful and prayerful and humble before me, and reveal not the things which I have revealed unto them, until it is wisdom in me that they should be revealed. Talk not of judgments, neither boast of faith nor of mighty works." We've talked about that element. "But carefully gather together as much in one region as can be consistent with the feelings of the people. And behold, I will give you favor and grace in their eyes, and you may rest in that you may rest in peace and safety. Now, behold, I say unto you, my friends, in this way you may find favor in the eyes of the people." Mm-hmm. And indeed, I think that was fulfilled. These people took them in. The Mormons were treated much, much more in a more kinder fashion.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel and our church history program entitled Past Impressions. Our guests today are Max Parkin and Alex Baugh, two of our eminent church historians. Max, you were going to comment on that revelation that the prophet Joseph received about the saints in section 105 that Alex read to us about seeking the goodwill of the people round about.
Yes, I think that's such a significant revelation that Dr. Baugh introduced. It was a revelation in what is known as the Fishing River Revelation, which the prophet Joseph Smith received in Clay County after he and others arrived from Kirtland. And just a couple of phrases from that revelation to remind us, the Lord said, "Let all my people who dwell in the regions round about be very faithful and prayerful and humble before me, and not reveal or talk about their religious claims and their supernatural beliefs and so forth. In other words, be diplomatic, keep your mouth quiet so we can survive in this land, which is a friendly land for us. Now, I'd like to refer back to Judge Thorpe, Joseph Thorpe, who wrote his memoirs about the Mormons later. This is a man that hired the Mormons, put them to work, gave them something to eat with and so forth. But in his memoirs, he makes this observation after the 2 years the Mormons were there. Quote, he says, "The poor, deluded mortals, with all their experiences in Jackson County, began to tell the citizens of Clay the same old tale, that this county was theirs by the gift of the Lord. It was folly for them to improve their lands. They would not enjoy the fruits of their labors, that it would finally fall into the hands of the saints." That simply upset the local people, and that's going to change the whole tone of things in Clay County.
Wow. Disregarding the Lord's words there, and that, you know, in the earlier revelation, the Lord had reminded them that not only had they suffered in Jackson County because of the at the hands of wicked men of the inhabitants, but it had also been on account of their own transgressions, and now they're repeating it again as well.
Again, but initially they were friendly, mm-hmm. Supportive, and helpful. I think it's interesting to note, oftentimes we refer to the statement of someone's a Jack Mormon.
Hmm.
In our day and age, we usually use that to refer to what, Brent?
Well, a person that isn't living the principles of the gospel, I call them a backbench, backsliding Mormon. So,
well, in that day, a Jack Mormon was tended to identify those who are friendly towards the Mormons.
Really? Okay.
So these people like John Thornton, Michael Arthur,
Alexander Donovan,
and others were considered Jack Mormons, meaning they were helpful and kind, and I think that's an interesting twist on our history.
It is.
In terms of who was identified as such.
We've talked about how the Clay County was different and the original friendliness of them. What was the hope of the saints and the leaders of the saints? Did they anticipate that they were going to stay in Clay County for the rest of the church's existence?
Yes, this is a very important question to ask concerning the overview plans. After Zion's Camp arrived in June of 1834 and brought assistance to the saints, but failed in their escorting the Latter-day Saints across the river to their homes in Jackson County, the Prophet Joseph Smith established leadership, which we'll comment on later, in Missouri, and gave instructions, and this instruction was reinforced for the next 2 years. The master plan was this, that we will emigrate to Clay County. We'll fill up the county with good Latter-day Saint converts from the East, and then in 1836 we'll have enough Latter-day Saints in that county to move with strength, with the help of the Lord, and cross over into Jackson County on her own, with the help of a second Zion's Camp, which would be established after the failure of the first Zion's Camp. So the big picture is that of gathering, building strength, and then we will, independently if necessary from the governor of the state, we'll cross the river and we occupy our lands there. That's the master plan.
Mm, interesting.
Now, in the eyes of the Clay County citizens, of course, they took us in. They allowed us to settle and work and labor. But they're seeing our situation as very temporary. They're not expecting us to remain in any sense of the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, both of us are viewing this in somewhat similar fashion. We didn't plan on being in Clay County all that long.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clay County citizens obviously didn't intend for us to be permanent settlers as well.
But they didn't think they were necessarily going back to Jackson County. They just didn't want them in Clay County either.
Right. In fact, when Max mentions this expectation that they would go back to Jackson County, Joseph Smith in his letter said to them, let this be to silence in every heart. Don't say mm-hmm. anything. Keep it still. We need to not promote that idea among the general population. But that was our expectation.
You're listening to Past Impressions. I'm Brent Topp, your host, and with me today are our guests, Max Parkin and Alex Baugh. Max, why don't you talk to us a little bit about some of the negotiations that were going on between the leaders and inhabitants of Clay County and the saints and what that leads to?
That's a very dramatic aspect of the Clay County experience. It begins with the governor encouraging the Latter-day Saints to take their complaints to the courts. So consequently, the leaders in Clay County, that is the Latter-day Saint leaders in Clay County, contact the leaders in Jackson County, and they engage in efforts to have court cases, hearings, what have you, in independence to resolve the problem that way. They're attempting to negotiate through the law. The law does not work for the Mormons. So after the Prophet Joseph Smith arrived with Zion's Camp in June of 1834, the emphasis then again is placed upon negotiation. The governor, Dunklin, realized that if the Mormons tried to cross over to Jackson County at that time, June of 1834, there'd be a civil war. Mm-hmm. There were 2,000, at a conservative estimate, of mobsters. We call them mobsters, but defenders of the homes of the local people in the various counties were ready and willing to come to fight against the Mormons if they attempted the crossing. So that's not the time to do it. Let's see if we can negotiate a settlement. And they do. They talk with the leaders in Clay County. They send petitions to the governor. They send petition to the President of the United States. They attempt through negotiation to resolve these problems, but they get no satisfaction from any of these outlets. The Latter-day Saints are just not helped, even though some of the local people encourage them to negotiate and promise that they will help, but it comes to a dead end. That's why the Prophet Joseph Smith took the position later that we're going to establish a second Zion's Camp and we're going to do it with muscle this time. That does not develop because the negotiations failed and the Latter-day Saints had to find another home from Clay County.
Another important aspect here, Brent, is the fact that the leadership role of these saints down here is changed. Or added to, maybe that's the right word. After Joseph Smith comes down with Zion's Camp, at the disbanding or discharging of the camp, Joseph chooses to organize the Missouri Stake right there in – it's actually on the Michael Arthur property where all of Zion's Camp is assembled. And he had organized the Kirtland Stake in February of that year before leaving on Zion's Camp. And so he organizes the Missouri Stake. And obviously he saw a need for additional ecclesiastical structure, if you will. And in this leadership, he places David Whitmer as the president over this area. And as associate president or assistant presidents, we'd call them counselors. He calls his brother,
John
Whitmer, there we go, thank you, and also W.W. Phelps as counselors. So now we have a Missouri presidency. And prior to this time, of course, Partridge has kind of been the main kind of key figure here in terms of leadership. Now it kind of shifts a little bit to the Missouri presidency and the Missouri High Council. Certainly Partridge still has a role and plays a very vital and important role. But I think it's interesting that Joseph saw a need for additional leadership, and that took place right there in Clay County.
And how did that affect the outlying settlements, and what did that do to help unify those outlying settlements?
Well, it helps a great deal, but we must remember that when the Saints fled across the Missouri River north from Jackson County, they're not all crossing at the Independence Landing or Independence Ferry. They're scattered all along the northern part of Jackson County, maybe 12, 15 miles apart. And so Saints are crossing into Clay County from all those different districts of Jackson County, and therefore they're going to settle along the Missouri River for maybe 20 miles from the far western end of Clay County to the far northeastern end of the county. So the Saints will settle in those places, in lean-tos, in old slave quarters, and whatever facilities they can find. Now, the church is going to take a different position in terms of acquisition of land here than they took in Jackson County. Jackson County was Zion. The law of consecration and stewardship was greatly implemented there, where the church bought property and gave the saints a piece of land as a steward or an inheritance, as they called them. None of that in Clay County. The Latter-day Saints will individually buy land, but the church will buy no land. Bishop Partridge will own all the land in Jackson County, which the church administered, but he'll own no land in Clay County for the church. He will own a little piece of land himself. but the saints will be scattered all over the southern part of the county, 20 miles apart. And they'll tend to group together in small little villages or small little neighborhoods, but nothing large like they had in Jackson County. They're scattered all over, waiting for the day when immigration will strengthen them and they can join together and return to Jackson County.
What brings about the actual leaving of Clay County, and where do they go?
The difficulty will arise most severely in the spring of 1836. Local settlers now, like Judge Thorpe, have had it. The Mormons have overextended their time. They've been boastful. This is going to be their land. They're going to return to Jackson County, but this is an extension of Jackson County. So you better get out before we take over. That kind of an attitude was expressed maybe by a few, but sensed by more than a few. The main impetus of difficulty occurred on the highways or the roads of the time. The pioneer roads were required to be occupied or to be maintained and built by the citizenry. And so these gangs that would work on the roads would see the Mormon immigrants in 1836 coming into the county. They stopped them violently and sent them out of the county. And this, of course, precipitates some attacks of the Mormon villages. Some of the men were beaten. We got the message. Meetings were held in Liberty. Violent expressions of hatred of the Mormons in those meetings were expressed. And we understood quickly. Our leaders learned from those meetings and from these hostile activities in the eastern part of the county that we need to look for another home.
And in the meantime, several Mormon leaders actually began scouting out. Where can we go? Where is property available? And they move north into what is at that time unincorporated Ray County, identify some key sites that might serve as settlement sites. And by the end of by around July of 1836, we actually tell them we'll move. Mm-hmm. So rather than engage in any sort of conflict, the leaders clearly saw we need to move on. We need to find something quickly. And make that transition to another location. So ends the Clay County period.
What a sad tale that started out with such high hopes as they crossed the river and had friends to now once again be on the move. Thank you, Dr. Parkin and Dr. Baugh. Been very fascinating as we've studied this important period of church history. We hope that you will join us again for future episodes of Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel.